Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for June 23rd, 2008, and on this episode, Ann Nicholson-Weber interviews Hallie Gordon and Elizabeth Mongolius about theater on the lake. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
This is Ann Nicholson-Weber, and you're listening to Talk Theater in Chicago Interview Podcast. This week I'm talking to Hallie Gordon and Elizabeth Mongolius, who are both involved at Theater on the Lake. Hallie is the artistic director there. Elizabeth is director of a show that's being put up there. So welcome, Hallie. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maybe each of you could quickly introduce yourselves a little more extensively. Elizabeth?
I am a freelance director in Chicago and had the pleasure of directing Songs for a New World for the Bohemian Theater Ensemble.
Which is being produced at Theater on the Lake this summer.
It is, yes.
And Hallie?
And I'm the artistic director of the Chicago Park District's Theater on the Lake. I also am the artistic and educational director over for Steppenwolf for Young Adults at Steppenwolf Theater Company.
Great. Well, Hallie, maybe you could talk first off just about the Theater on the Lake, a little bit about the space and about its history. Give people who haven't been there a sense of what it is.
Sure. It actually has a very long history. It started out as many, many years ago as a TB ward for children who were sick, because Theater on the Lake, the building used to be surrounded by water before they built land around it. And so they thought that it was a really nice environment for kids to get some fresh air. And then it became this SOS camp. And
what's SOS?
It became a dance hall for soldiers. And it continued to become different things until I'd say the past decade. It was community theater that parks, different park sites put on. And from that, it became what it is today, which is bringing in professional theater companies from all over Chicago to do a run of their work there.
So the season is from spring
to... The season is from summer. It's generally, we open in June and we close in August. Mm-hmm. And it's fast and furious festival theater.
Right. So your job is to choose the plays that will be produced.
Yes, I go out, and I'm starting it right now for next season as well. And I see probably about, I would say about five plays every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, so I go out and I see a lot of theater. I have people recommending me to go see things. I have theater companies emailing me, asking me to come see things. So I go out and there are many different things that I look for in terms of putting a season together. You know, I'm looking for musicals, I'm looking for comedies, I'm looking for drama. I really want it to be an eclectic array of what Chicago has to offer. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for storefronts, I'm looking for bigger theater companies, smaller, new, new, fresh actors, something that allows our subscribers to come in who've missed all of this theater during the year to come in and say, oh, okay, this is what Chicago's known for, is this kind of theater.
Mm-hmm. So over the course of a summer, you can kind of hit some highlights of what had been the previous season.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So the theater is owned, and essentially the producer is the Park District, right?
Yes, the producer is the Chicago Park District.
So that's a little different from, for instance, Storefront Theater, which is run by the Department of Cultural Affairs.
That's correct.
So two different arms of the city,
theaters. Yeah.
So what are the challenges of running a company within the structure of the Park District?
Well, I think that's interesting because the Cultural Center, I mean, just purely because of its name, is about culture in the city. Mm-hmm. So there's a very clear understanding for them of what their goals and missions are and how they want to be perceived in the city. Now, the Chicago Park District, you know, of course, it's recreation. That's what it's known for. It's not really known for the arts. I'd say over the past 5 years, they've really tried harder to bring the arts out more and tried to create cultural centers within the field, the park field houses. Mm-hmm. But it's not as it's not as clear cut as, okay, let's set up a soccer team, let's set up a little league team. Mm-hmm. The way in which theaters are run is very different than the way in which park and recreation is done. So there can sometimes be a conflict, culture clash, of understanding in terms of what the needs of a theater institution are and what the needs of a park recreation community is.
Essentially, you have a producer who doesn't know a lot about theater.
Right.
And that, I could imagine, raises some difficulties, challenges for you in trying to explain the needs of a theater.
It does. It's really interesting because it actually made me realize how different arts organizations run than other organizations. Mm. Because, you know, for instance, we work, you know, our staff is there till, you know, 11, 12 at night, you know, refocusing and setting up the set. Well, the parks close at 10, you know, and so there, I mean, it's kind of simple things too, as mm-hmm. well as big things like we need a technical director. Well, there's no line item for technical director, you know.
In the park district budget,
yeah.
Right.
There's no line item for box office manager, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. these are all things that we've kind of had to figure out how to make fit into what is recreation.
Uh-huh.
And so at times it's been really challenging. But, you know, I'm still here, and there's so many people who've been down at theater and, like, they're still there. And it's that, you know, the art of the theater is worth it. You know, mm-hmm. The building is crumbling. There's no question about it. We are in the process of gaining a minimal amount of funds to redo some basic work. It would be wonderful if we could get some investment into really working that building so it could be more of a year-round building, because I think what it offers is something unique in Chicago. I think especially coming off this past couple of weeks with Chicago Shakespeare winning, you know, the regional Tonys, Steppenwolf winning Tonys. This is such a rich theater community. And Theater on the Lake is a really good starting point mm-hmm. for that in
for
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an eyesore, but the artwork that's being done in there is an amazing starting point. And the audience is very forgiving because of that.
Well, and it's a spectacular sight,
and
just the experience of going to the lakefront and seeing good theater is pretty cool.
It is.
But you're fighting the fact that the plant is in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, you know, everyone who enjoys Theater on the Lake, there's you know, it's bittersweet in a lot of ways. I think the biggest fear is that it'll somehow be taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being invested in, which I don't foresee happening. I see more that it will remain as it is, and the work inside of it will continue to grow and get better. And, you know, the building is just a place for all of us in the community to get together and watch mm-hmm. great art. So,
well, you've talked a lot about, you know, your audience. It sounds like you have a very clear idea of who comes. So who does
mm-hmm.
come?
We have, it's interesting. We have, some diehard subscribers mm-hmm. that have been with us, you know, for 30 plus years, and they come, they've been subscribing, they have their Wednesday seats right up front, they bring in their popcorn, and they sit, and they whether they love the show or hate the show, they come up to me and talk to me, but no matter how they feel about it, the same thing is always said. They appreciate so much the opportunity to experience something new.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, we've started, and the artistic director prior to me was Kurt Columbus, who's now over at Trinity Rep as artistic director. He very much started this idea of cultivating a younger audience in terms of the kind of programming that we bring in. So youth-oriented, young, vibrant, new. And what's interesting about that is that our longtime subscribers sit back and they're like, oh, it's one of these plays. Well, we'll learn something. You know, it's kind of like, we'll see what the young people are up to.
We'll take
our
medicine.
Yeah, kind of. It's like they get mm-hmm. this kind of insight
mm-hmm.
that they normally would never on their own go and see, but it keeps them connected to the world around them and to other people and to the art and to new faces. And
so you're implying it's an older audience, I gather.
It is an older audience. Mm-hmm. And not, you know what's interesting, though, it's the last, when I was there a couple nights ago and I looked out into the audience, it was with Misanthrope, which is kind of a reinvention.
That's the Ranjit Bolt adaptation, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. So it was fresh and new, mm-hmm. young actors, hip costumes. And, you know, I looked around and our audience was fairly young. Hmm. There were old-time subscribers there, but there was a really nice mix, which I think is really great.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking as you were talking that it's almost a reversal of the situation that the big institutional theaters talk about, which is they want to bring young people in mm-hmm. to see classical theater, mm-hmm. and you're bringing older people in to see edgier theater.
It's true. I hadn't thought of it that way.
So
it's
you're kind of, your outreach is going in a different direction in a funny way.
It is true.
Well, Elizabeth, maybe you could talk a little bit. You're going to be bringing Songs for a New World to Theater on the Lake near the end of the season, I think. What are the dates?
The dates are July 16th through the 20th.
Twice in the middle. And I'm interested to hear from your perspective what it's like to take a show that, you know, had its run, you put it up, it had its life, and actually in this case I think it had a second life, and now it's going to have a third life at Theater on the Lake. So could you talk a little bit about what that experience is like for the director of a show?
Absolutely. It's interesting because this show, Songs for a New World, which is a collection of Jason Robert Brown's songs that he wrote when he was a bit younger, was originally conceived as a cabaret-style show. And it was my intent and Bohemian's intent to re-envision it a bit and find a way to make it a bit more theatrical. We didn't want a cabaret. Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, I was able to find a common thread and sort of make it more of a story, a collection of stories rather than simply a cabaret. And we first presented it in Bohemian Space, which is a 26-seat theater where we can bring in four more seats if we need to, but mm-hmm. 30 is the absolute maximum. Mm-hmm. And it was both a challenge and just a joy to do because I really had to work with every inch of that space, including the walls, which were extremely important in creating a lot of the scenes and the characters and that sort of thing.
So, I didn't see the show, so how did you use the walls? What are you talking about?
There was a lot of... The walls almost became characters in a lot of ways. The four actors used them a lot physically, so there was a lot of leaning and a lot of slapping. And the walls really held the actors up mm-hmm. at times, mm-hmm. Quite literally. Mm-hmm. And there were scenes that were staged right against the walls with all four of them. There were times that all four of them were literally up flat against the walls. So they were important, as well as the ramps and that were built for the show. When we moved it in January of this year to the theater building, we did move into a space that's somewhat similar, smaller, but similar to Theater on the Lakes, where it was a three-quarter thrust stage, and the walls had to come down. Mm-hmm. And that presented quite a challenge, and I actually did have to restage some things. Theater on the Lake is even a bit more of a challenge because it's a larger three-quarter thrust, as I said, we'll have to rework some moments as well so that we make sure that the show is visible to the entire audience. But it's been a pleasure to do it, and it's a show, I think, that, like Hallie said, it probably would not reach the audience and has not reached the audience that it will reach at Theater on the Lake. Mm-hmm. But I think it is, and most people who are not in the musical theater world probably know Jason, they probably don't know Jason Robert Brown or Songs for a New World. But I think once they are exposed to him and his music, they'll really enjoy it.
So. I have to say this, when I went and saw this piece, I'm not, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not like a huge musical theater fan, especially mm-hmm. something like this where there is no talking, it's just music. But I found myself, the world that Elizabeth created was this, it could be anywhere. It was this neutral kind of space, but it was definitely, you felt like you were in an environment. And what it did for me is it made me think about the world that we live in and the choices that we make and the challenges and when do we stand up for ourselves. And so it became almost like this philosophy of ideas, I think. And I think the environment that you created really allowed you to kind of go in with this open mind and visualize whatever you needed for yourself, whatever that new world was you wanted to create for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was really exciting because of that.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you're going to be able to recreate that in this very different kind of space?
I do. I think we were very successful in doing that at the theater building. And I think with just a few more adjustments, it will work very well at Theater on the Lake as well. And we've got four singers with four incredible voices.
Mm-hmm.
Who will fill that theater, I think, in a way that will be
well, just technically, how did you solve that problem? What did you do when you moved to the theater building to change it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we went through a lot of different ways to do it. We knew the walls had to come down, period. Mm-hmm. And at first, I really envisioned a lot of poles that would go in place because it was very important to me at points that the actors grab on to something. Even that, though, was altered. So by the end, there really wasn't, I was able to create the same feeling of that without the walls there. Mm-hmm. So we built several ramps of different sizes and different heights. But I really was able to create that same energy, I think, mm-hmm. that I was able to do with the walls. And really, it just, the set opened up, and now the walls are the three sides of the audience, mm-hmm. instead of the actual walls that were there, the mm-hmm. bohemian space. Mm-hmm. So it opened it up, and I think it had the same effect for the most part.
Well, Hallie, when you were talking about, you actually aren't a musicals person, but you picked a musical to be on this series, and it raised a question that I'm very interested in, which is the question of taste. Mm-hmm. And here you are essentially curating a collection that is meant to be representative of Chicago theater season that preceded the summer. But you obviously are a person with specific personal taste. How do you have to second guess yourself? How much can you just say, I love that show, it's got to come? How much do you have to say, well, I don't really like that kind of show, but we need one? Do you know what I'm asking?
I do know what you're asking. It's very, very complicated. I mean, I think I start this way with the season that I program at Steppenwolf for young adults. I start with the things that I like first and foremost. Now, with Theater on the Lake, I know that there's this kind of formula of, if we are going to include our audience in the year of theater, then we need to include them in a comedy, we need to include them in a drama and a musical, and you know. And I've actually learned a lot about musicals having participated as artistic director in Theater on the Lake. And the interesting thing enough is that my first show I ever went to as a kid was a musical, and I fell in love with it, and that was Gypsy. But that being said, so I see a lot of musicals, and when I look at the musicals, the thing that I look for is what moves me, mm-hmm. what entertains me, what moves me, what is unexpected, and what I look around always when I'm going to see shows for Theater on the Lake. I look around at the present audience that I'm sitting with, and oftentimes I have opportunities to talk with them after as well and get their feedback. I really feel that one of the special things for me about Theater on the Lake is the audience involvement. I really look to them. This is something that the Park District is. This is for them. This is less for me and about this being like, you know, the best regional theater. This is more about the community in which this theater sits, mm-hmm. and about the people that don't have an opportunity as much as they would like to see theater. And so I love talking to people and seeing what they like, and if they like something I don't, I always question, like, what is it about it that you like? You know, so I'm learning a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I set up an email account where people can email me and be like, I saw, and I get this a lot. I saw this. I think this would be perfect for theater. Like, and I go and see it. I'm like, oh, I can't bring this to theater.
Thank you so much.
Luckily, you're the one who gets to make the decisions.
And it's, you know, part of putting the puzzle together, too, is who can remount their show. I mean, we're asking a lot of a theater company to, if I see something now in June and I like that, I want that to be on theater, I'm like, I'm asking them to regroup in a year to do it again. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm asking for the same actors, the same directors, you know. So it can be complicated in terms of scheduling and readjusting. And that's why I have to go out and see so much theater. And then I kind of say, okay, I whittle it down to 20. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of have 20 floating around in terms of scheduling.
To put the logistics together.
To put the logistics mm-hmm. together. And mm-hmm. I say, okay, if this person can't make this time and this. And it's a puzzle. It's putting a puzzle together and you don't know what the picture is going to look like.
The end, yeah.
You know, you have a certain formula that you know you want. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, certain things that, feel right, especially like this, the schedule that it is now, if I had my way, it would be a little bit different in terms of the placement,
mm-hmm.
the order of it,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of making sure you don't have all the dramas up front mm-hmm. and then the comedies at the end or, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a whole kind of way in which you have to think about it. And sometimes it just happens the way it happens.
Right. There are constraints you just have to work within, which is true of theater always. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth, given that there are, that it's hard on the company to do it, what's in it for a company to come to Theater on the Lake? And I know you're not, you know, really speaking for Bohemian Theater. You just did this one show for them, but maybe you can have some insights from talking to the artistic directors of the company.
Yeah, I do think it is a challenge. And it's, I think for Bohemian, it was a bit of a challenge as well, because even with a small cast, our cast is only 4 actors. But it's important, for instance, to have the set designer in on everything, so making sure that he's going to be here to rebuild what needs to be rebuilt, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it is a task, but it also, I think for us, certainly for Bohemian, it's an honor. So mm-hmm. and it's also another opportunity for the actors to show what they can do on stage.
Right. Right.
So I think for us, because we are a smaller cast and because we have moved the set, we actually also performed at the Illinois High School Theater Festival, where we literally had to put the set inside trucks and move it down. It's a bit easier because mm-hmm. we were ready to do that beforehand. So
you've already solved some of the logistical, physical logistical issues.
Yes, we did.
Right. I don't know, probably Hallie, you could talk to the question. I'm just interested in what are the economics of it? Are you paying the company are you paying sort of a lump sum to the company? Is that how it works?
The Park District, it's kind of like we take a loan from the Park District and then we pay the theater company. And then whatever ticket sales we get from the theater that the theater company makes, we pay back the Park District.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're fronting the money. So we ask for a budget from all of our theater companies of what it'll cost, including 1 week of rehearsal time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pay them that amount. They put up in the show and then we pay back the Park District.
So there's less risk for them because whatever the house is, they've gotten kind of their money up front.
Yes.
From the company.
Yes.
And financially, is it enough to more than break even for the company, do you know?
Sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, if there's a set that is that actually takes longer than they thought to build and they have to pay the designer.
And that's their risk.
Yeah.
Because they've got the
set
budget.
Yeah, so there are little things like that mm-hmm. that can be complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, more times than not, we're not making our money back.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, and I guess this is, you know, this is where it just gets, you know, complicated, and where art, you know, where you look at art and it's about building community.
Right. Well, this isn't commercial theater. Yeah. This is a public service and a civic resource. Well, why don't you quickly describe some of what you're planning to do this season?
Well, this season we just opened with Pegasus Players doing August Wilson's Jitney. So this is our drama. And it's really, Pegasus has not been down there in a very long time, so it's great to have them back again. And we just finished The Misanthrope, a Molière play / comedy / farce by Greasy Joan and Company. They're the first time they've been down there as well. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about Greasy Joan and Company is they've been around Chicago for a while now. However, this was the first time that our audience had an opportunity to view their work. So that was really great. And we have Schadenfreude, which has been all over the city recently because they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. And it's their first time down at Theater on the Lake. And they're a sketch comedy group. Mm-hmm. So that should be really fun and exciting. And then we have the Neo-Futurists, which are a long stable in the Chicago theater community. And they're bringing Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind, which has run for them, I think, 15 years.
Right.
But it's a late night. It's 11 p.m. So the people come down to the theater and, like, they don't stay up that late to go see theater. Right. So this is an opportunity for them to see this long-standing work. And I'll have to say this at a reasonable hour. And then Chicago Dramatist is coming down there. They have never been down there before either, which I find really hard to believe. They focus on new work, and this is a new work, and it's called Cadillac, and it's about car salesmen, so that should be interesting. And then we have Elizabeth and her production of Songs for a New World, Bohemian Theater Company. They were with us last season with Sideshow, which did great. I mean, the audience just loved it. It was such a wonderful musical down there. And then we have the House Theater back. They haven't been with us for a while, and we get so many people saying, we want the House Theater back. They're bringing back The Attempters. And something that's interesting about this is that we're really allowing them an opportunity to rework the script. Mm-hmm. I think pretty much all they do is new work. And so a lot of times they're really moving to get it up and going, and they don't have time to revisit their work. And so Nathan Allen, the artistic director, and I were talking, and I said, you know, if we could give you an opportunity, even if it's to rework the script a little bit before you put it up again, would that interest you? And he was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. Why are you doing that to us? That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So companies don't really have an opportunity to revisit work like that. And it's, I feel like Chicago is such a rich cultural city that it's important to give back to artists in that way. And I think Theater on the Lake really does that to a degree that it can. And then we're closing with Shattered Globe Theater, long, long theater history in Chicago. Never been down at Theater on the Lake with a perfect show suddenly last summer.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty exciting season.
Well, I guess I'd like to just end with talking, you know, what if you could wave a magic wand and had infinite resources, what would you hope could be the future of Theater on the Lake?
I would love Theater on the Lake to become a more year-round vehicle for other theater companies, other park district theaters, you know, park districts that have theaters. And in order to do that, it would be wonderful to be able to enclose it. Like, we had one architect come out and talk to us about enclosing it in glass, so you still have the environment of the lake and the it still feels like you're outside, but you have more control over sound and temperature. And I also, I would love the opportunity to really, there's some shows and some companies I'd love to be able to bring down, and for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, budget or whatever, it's challenging to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Part of it can be because of the space as well. And I just feel like the city of Chicago, there's nothing like this, really.
Yeah.
And it's really, it needs attention.
Yeah. Well, as I say, obviously it has a history and it has some devoted subscribers, mm-hmm. audiences who care very much about it. It is a spectacular setting and real opportunity for the city to be showcasing what we all have known for a while as one of its most wonderful assets. And that's the world is beginning to notice that, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I hope your dreams come true.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Hallie. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Anne.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of June 23rd, 2008. Broadway in Chicago has announced the premiere of Spring Awakening. The 8-time 2007 Tony Award-winning musical will play for a limited engagement in Chicago next summer, August 4th through the 16th. Audiences can get a free taste of the production when cast members perform on Monday, June 30th, during the Taste of Chicago Festival. Based on an 1891 Frank Wedekind play, Spring Awakening tells the timeless story of teenage self-discovery as seen through the eyes of three teenagers. Tickets are now available to groups. The individual pricing of tickets and release dates will be announced at a later time. Stay tuned to the Chicago Theater News podcast for more information. Victory Gardens Theater has announced the six plays selected for the summer festival, Ignition, Emerging Writers of Color. The festival introduces new writers and jump-starts future productions of the winning plays around the country. The plays were selected out of 120 submissions from throughout the U.S. and internationally, and the six chosen for Ignition are The Imagined Man by Christopher DePaula, A Better Babylon by Michael Liu, The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity by Christopher Diaz, Bathing Van Gogh by Brian Tucker, Year Zero by Michael Galamko, and Thaddy's Last Dance by France Luce Benson. To purchase tickets for the Ignition Festival, which runs this August 7th through the 10th at the Victory Gardens Biograph Theater, click on over to victorygardens.org. Again, that's victorygardens.org. Time for some theater tidbits. Theater Oobleck's The Strangerer will be the latest Chicago show heading out to the Big Apple. The show, which is currently running to rave reviews at the Chopin Theater through this June 29th, will be opening again on July 9th for a run at the Barrow Street Theater in New York. The Strangerer is part political satire, part classical drama, and part contemporary debate. The House Theater of Chicago has announced that they will be adding six new company members, including Debbie Bear, Cliff Chamberlain, Lee Keenan, Chad Kenward, Kat McDonnell, and Joey Stakely. The House now has a total of 34 highly skilled artists. Writers Theater has announced additional dates for James Goldman's The Lion and Winter due to record ticket sales. The production will now run through this August 10th at the Writers Theater in Glencoe, and this is the second show this season to be extended to high demand. Congratulations, Writers Theater. Steph Tovar has announced the launch of the Route 66 Theater Company. Its mission is to bridge the 2,448 miles of cultural divide along the historic U.S. highway. The Route 66 Theater Company's first production will be the Chicago premiere of On an Average Day, co-produced with the Versus Theater Company of Los Angeles. The show will open on August 2nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater upstairs main stage. On an Average Day first premiered in London back in 2002. It's a black comedy and psychological drama about two estranged brothers. For tickets and more information, visit Route66Theater.org or check out Talk Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Theater on the Lake for giving us the honor of an interview this week. I would also like to thank Ann Nicholson Weber and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.